It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh my goodness, folks. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, one and all. Close the door here so the fan doesn't make so much noise. It is March 5th, 2021, and it is 1900 UTC because it's recorded and I can't be late to recording. Anyway, welcome. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Sorry I'm having to do a recording. It is Friday after all, so it's not too weird. Next week, Monday and Tuesday, probably Wednesday, I'll try to do the show. I'm going to be out of town, so I'm going to be in the middle of nowhere, so I don't know whether or not I will have adequate bandwidth or connection to be able to record the show and broadcast it. But if I can, I will get it out. So, fingers crossed. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started the way we always start. World news. That's right. It's time for the world news. So we're starting off in Algeria. Thousands of Algerians demonstrated against the political and military elite in cities across the country for a second successive Friday as the UN human rights body voiced concern at what it called a crackdown on protesters. The demonstrations mark a resumption of the street protest movement calling for the old political establishment to depart and the army to quit politics that suspended its weekly marches a year ago because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Police have not stopped the protests, but maintain a heavy street presence, and the spokesman for the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights said there was reliable information that hundreds had been arrested around the country. The mass street protests erupted in 2019, prompting the military to oust veteran President Abdelaziz Bouteflika, and continued weekly until the global pandemic reached Algeria a year ago. Thieves, you have destroyed the country, the protesters chant. So there have been numerous instances across the country where security forces have used unnecessary or excessive force and arbitrary arrests to suppress peaceful demonstrations, a spokesman for the UN Rights Commissioner said on Friday. That's going on. Protests renewed. I think it's kind of amazing that they took a year off. They were like, nope, coronavirus is serious enough. But after a year, it's probably about time. So I hope they get the military out of their politics. All right. Well, let's talk about something else. Let's go to the Middle East a little bit. Or let's go over to Iraq, I guess I should say. Pope Francis has called for an end to violence and extremism on the first ever papal visit to Iraq. The pontiff is making his first international trip since the start of the coronavirus pandemic. COVID and security fears have made this his riskiest visit yet, but the 84-year-old insists he was duty-bound. He also said, Iraq's dwindling Christian community should have a more prominent role as citizens with full rights, freedoms, and responsibilities. He's hoping to foster inter-religious dialogue, meeting Iraq's most revered Shia Muslim cleric, and will celebrate mass at a stadium in Erbil in the north. About 10,000 Iraqi security force personnel are being deployed to protect the Pope, while round-the-clock curfews are also being imposed to limit the spread of COVID. Iraq's PM Mustafa al-Kadhim greeted him at the airport with a red carpet, Iraqis in national dress, and songs from a largely unmasked choir. Hundreds of people lined the airport road as the Pope's convoy, heavily chaperoned by police motorcycles, left for the city. But the Pope was seen to have a pronounced limp, suggesting that his sciatica condition continues to bother him. And the photo shows the Pope waving without a mask. I don't know whether this is religious outfit or not, but one guy has a mask on, and the other guy has the mask around his chin, and the person next to him is looking at him disapprovingly, and it's kind of funny. But this is really interesting. I don't know. I always think it's neat because there's people who are very religious. Often, there's a line where faith ends and, like, science and stuff takes over. or one or the other ways. And so with the Pope, it's kind of like, okay, well, I'm done with this coronavirus thing. I've got Jesus powers, and boom, away he goes. No mask, wandering around Iraq. So anyway, I thought it was interesting. I think it's really ballsy, so good luck. Speaking of balls, Bollywood. Streaming giants on edge as Amazon gets flack for hurting religious beliefs in India. So, controversy in India over Amazon's political drama Tandav, it's T-A-N-D-A-V, has put Bollywood and global video streaming giants on edge, prompting a closer scrutiny of scripts for possible offense to religious sentiments in a key growth market. Companies like Amazon Prime Video and Netflix are inspecting planned shows and scripts, with some even deleting scenes that would be controversial. 5 Bollywood directors and producers and 2 industry sources said. This comes as Amazon Prime Video has become embroiled in a legal case and police complaint alleging Tandav depicts Hindu gods and goddesses in a derogatory manner and offends religious beliefs. Tandav, a Hindi word meaning fury, stars top Bollywood actors. Public outcry over obscenity and religious depictions are common in culturally sensitive India, but Tandav issues snowballed as police questioned Amazon India's head of original content for Prime Video for hours following official complaints. Fearing arrest, Aparna Purohit put in anticipatory bail plea, which was declined by a state court, but the Supreme Court on Friday gave her protection from arrest. Scripts are being read and reread now, said a producer from Bollywood, India's Hindi film industry. Streaming platforms are vetting content for anything that they see as a red flag. Amazon has decided to delay streaming a new season of the popular Hindi spy thriller, The Family Man, which was to release last month. The show, Amazon says, it's an ad. But this is kind of chilling. It's interesting. It reminds me of the early days of business in China, where a lot of services suddenly had different content, or certain things were getting censored. And now, this seems like something's happening in India, the world's largest democracy. So, anyway, it was a little disturbing, and it's more politically interesting than technically interesting. So that's why we're talking about it right now during the
world news.
Yep. All right. So while we're talking about film, Berlin Film Festival awards Gender Neutral Acting Prize to Maren Egert. The Berlin Film Festival has awarded its first ever gender-neutral acting prize to Maren Egert. The new award, which was announced by the festival last August, means both male and female actors now compete in the same category. German actress Egert won for her performance as a museum researcher in the sci-fi comedy I'm Your Man. Berlin's decision to merge the categories could have a knock-on effect on other film award ceremonies. The idea has previously been welcomed by screen stars such as Kate Blanchett and Tilda Swinton, but it has also sparked heated debate. Mariette Reisenbeck, director of the Berlin Film Festival, said genderless award was intended to spark further discussion around gender injustice. So, while I don't normally like to cover pop culture or pop news, I thought this was pretty cool, and I'm glad that we got some neutrality there. So, pretty nifty. In my opinion. Oh man, we're about 9 minutes in, and I feel like I've been talking fast and long and loud, so sorry about that. I got a little hyper. Since I'm leaving, I don't know why, but I had some yerba mate tea, so I drank what I had because I didn't want to have to leave it here for a few, 3 or 4 days and then it go bad when I came back. But now I'm super hyper, so what an adventure. But it's okay. That's life. Oh man, I wonder if I have that song. I don't know if I do. Let's see. That's life. Nope. Oh man, that's such a good song. Anyway, sorry. That's life. Let's see if we can, boop, boop, and we're gonna do Sorry, guys. I'm just... This guy, he's in the back of my head.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
And so, what ends up happening is I get a song in my head while I'm talking about the news, and eventually, it bubbles out and we play a song. But anyway, let's go ahead and finish up what we're working on. We got other stuff to talk about. We got some COVID news here. Now, this made me laugh, but kind of in a sad way, like a lot of news does these days. After two straight days of record COVID-19 deaths in Brazil, President Jair Bolsonaro on Thursday told Brazilians to stop whining and move on in his latest remarks attacking distancing measures and downplaying the gravity of the pandemic. Brazil has the world's second highest death toll over the past year after the U.S. While the U.S. outbreak is ebbing, Brazil is facing its worst phase of the epidemic yet, pushing its hospital system to the brink of collapse. Enough fussing and whining. How much longer will the crying go on? Bolsonaro told a crowd at an event. How much longer will you stay at home and close everything? No one can stand it anymore. We regret the deaths again, but we need a solution. The health ministry registered 75,102 additional cases of coronavirus on Thursday, the most in a single day since July, and the second highest on record. Brazil also recorded 1,699 deaths, decreasing slightly from the previous 2 days of record deaths. So, thousands of people are dying, but quit whining about it. Jair Bolsonaro is very, very much kind of like a Trump-type figure for Brazil, and as we know, one of his rivals sent them some oxygen because they ran out, and they've been fighting over which vaccines to get and whether they're going to give them out and whether or not they trust the vaccine. It's just, Brazil's in a real mess right now, and this is just kind of icing on the cake, or icing, yeah. Well, let's go over to Europe, because COVID's bad over there, too. The Czech Republic has asked Germany, Switzerland, and Poland to take in dozens of COVID-19 patients as the situation in its own hospitals have reached a critical point, Prague's health ministry said. The country of 10.7 million has been one of the hardest hit globally in recent weeks, as many regional hospitals, overwhelmed by inflow of coronavirus patients, had to transfer them elsewhere, in some cases taking them hundreds of kilometers away. The large number of newly infected patients has intensified pressure on the healthcare system, and the number of patients requiring hospitalization is growing. As of Friday morning, there were 8,153 COVID patients hospitalized, including 1,735 requiring intensive care. In some regions, the hospitals have exhausted their capacity, and they are no longer able to provide appropriate care or to accept new patients. Without help from others, Health Minister Jan Blatney said. Across the country, 13% of the overall intensive care capacity was available, while in the capital, Prague, the free capacity was at 5%. So it's very troubling and really sad news there. I hope the other countries are able to help them out. But yeah, this is just something, you know, there's a lot of this stuff going on. It's really sad. All right, one more story, and then we'll play some music, because like I said, this guy...
Get the news!
He's in my head. I'm just hearing it. I'm feeling it in my bones as they vibrate out of my body because I drink too much hyper-caffeinated tea. Police in Myanmar on Friday opened fire on protesters again last night, killing one man as international condemnation rained down on the junta, and the UN Special Envoy on Myanmar urged the Security Council to act. Christine Bergener called on the council for unified support action, asking, how much more can we allow the Myanmar military to get away with, following the deaths of dozens of civilian protesters this week? She said the situation in Myanmar was moving toward an acute humanitarian crisis. Activists demanding the restoration of the elected government of veteran democracy champion Aung San Suu Kyi held more demonstrations in several towns and cities, with thousands marching peacefully through the second city of Mandalay. The Stone Age is over. We're not scared because you threaten us, the crowd chanted. Police opened fire and one man was killed. Witnesses and a doctor told Reuters by telephone. So it's a very tragic and dangerous time. there. Singapore has been the most outspoken of Myanmar's neighbors, and its foreign minister, Vivian Balakrishnan, said it was a national shame for armed forces to use weapons against their own people. But condemnation of the coup and subsequent violence has come largely from the West, with Asian nations, including India, mostly more restrained. The junta can count on some support from Russia and China, a major investor at the United Nations. The military has weathered isolation and sanctions during previous eras of army rule and has indicated it will not be swayed this time around. So, very scary times there indeed. Anyway, sorry about that. I just, I'm clicking a link. Let's see if it works. Fingers crossed. Hey, it looks like it did. All right. Is it gonna load? Oh man, y'all.
Get the news over with. I wanna hear the music.
It's possible. You know what? We're going to do one more story. And then we will play the song. Hopefully by then it will be ready to go. Airline data hack. Hundreds of thousands of Star Alliance passengers' details stolen. IT operator CITA, S-I-T-A, which serves airlines including Singapore, Lufthansa, and United, reports systems breach revealing frequent flyer data. Data on hundreds of thousands of airline passengers around the world has been hacked via a highly sophisticated attack on the IT systems operator that serves around 90% of the global aviation industry. CITA, which is Sierra India Tango Alpha, which serves the Star Alliance of airlines, including Singapore, we just said this, said on Thursday it had been the victim of a cyber attack leading to a breach of passenger data. The American company, which runs passenger processing systems for airlines such as ticketing and baggage control, said the incident occurred on February 24th. CITA took immediate action to contact affected customers and all related organizations. We recognize that the COVID-19 pandemic has raised concerns about security threats, and at the same time, cyber criminals have become more sophisticated and active. CITA acted swiftly and initiated targeted containment measures. The matter remains under continued investigation by CITA's Security Incident Response Team with the support of leading external experts in cybersecurity. So, the breach was linked with frequent flyer data, but was limited to your name, tier status, and member number, the email from Air New Zealand said. The breach does not include any member passwords, credit card information, or other personal data. So, it's pretty bad, but maybe not as bad as it could have been. You give airlines quite a lot of sensitive information in order to buy your ticket so you can pass through all the security measures. So, pretty spooky, or pretty interesting. I'm not sure how spooky it is, but anyway, that's just something that's in my head. Where's my music? We're gonna play a song.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
All right. So let's see if this plays. Oh, it looks like it will. This is a Frank Sinatra song called "That's Life."
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet,
a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
That's life. And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die. My.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh man, that is 100% correct. Big thank you to SDF for powering Anon Radio. It's super fun. I enjoy doing the show, and I enjoy hanging out in calm when I can. And I really enjoy listening to the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, which happens every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. Jump in, dial in to anonradio.net. You can listen on the website, you can plug it into VLC, anywhere that it's an Icecast stream. So just latch on and buckle up. It's a good time. That sounded very ad-like, so sorry about that. Anyway, we have got probably 7 minutes or so to go, and 2, 4, 6 stories to go, so I think we're doing good. Alright, let's do a couple more tech news stories.
Is it time for tech news?
Alright, so first up, Tesla is partnering with a nickel mine amid shortage fears. Sorry. Tesla is kind of a tech news company, so I always lump them in there. But Tesla is going to be buying nickel from the Goro mine on the small Pacific island of New Caledonia to secure its long-term supply. The move comes amid growing concerns about future supplies of nickel. New Caledonia is the world's fourth largest nickel producer, which has seen a 26% rally in prices in the past year. Nickel is our biggest concern for scaling lithium-ion cell production, Musk said on Twitter last month. New Caledonia is a French overseas territory, although it has seen growing calls for its independence. So what is the Goro mine? Well, in the south of the island, it has one of the world's largest nickel mines. In December, its owners, Brazilian mining giant Vale and the French state, tried to sell it to Swiss commodities trader Trafigura. Residents were so angry about the loss of local ownership and control that it sparked the collapse of New Caledonia's government and led to workers going on strike. So yeah, it's a small place. It's like, what if a mining town was a country? But anyway, it's pretty. The photo or an image that's available in the on the BBC site that I'm reading this from. Wow, it's just a huge strip mine. So anyway, I just found it to be. Anyway, we need the resources, but wow, that's just wild to see a giant pit. It's just a giant pit in the ground. Well, don't worry. Let's talk about something less heavy, still in the tech news sphere. U.S. says John McAfee indicted over fraudulent cryptocurrency schemes. So John McAfee, creator of the eponymous antivirus software, has been indicted in Manhattan federal court on fraud and money laundering conspiracy crimes, stemming from two schemes concerning the fraudulent promotion to investors of cryptocurrencies. McAfee and his bodyguard, Jimmy Gale Watson Jr., were charged for a scheme to exploit McAfee's large Twitter following by publicly touting cryptocurrency offerings and digital tokens that they later sold once prices rose on the promotions, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. McAfee is being detained in Spain on separate criminal charges filed by the Justice Department's Tax Division, the department said. Watson, an executive advisor of McAfee's so-called cryptocurrency team, was arrested on Thursday night, the Justice Department said. Neither could be reached immediately for comment. McAfee and Watson allegedly engaged in a scheme to exploit the broad reach of his Twitter account by buying cryptocurrency assets, concealing a plan to liquidate them, and then selling most quickly after his endorsements boosted prices. So, yeah, this is similar to what, like, Elon Musk was being investigated with, but he did it in, like, the billion-dollar scale, and so usually when you're moving that much money, you don't get arrested. You get, like, a fine, like a 2% fine or something silly. McAfee is also famous because he allegedly killed one of his neighbors while living in Latin America, and then there were some weird sex stories that came out about him. Just all in all, very wild. And then he tried to run for president once. Anyway, it is a trip. So if you want to find out about... Anyway, if you've got some time, read up on John McAfee. It is a trip. All right. And SpaceX Starship rocket prototype nails landing and then blows up. The third time appeared to be the charm for Elon Musk's Starship rocket, until it wasn't. The latest heavy-duty launch vehicle prototype from SpaceX soared flawlessly into the sky in a high-altitude test blast-off on Wednesday from Boca Chica, Texas, then flew itself back to Earth to achieve the first upright landing for the Starship model. But the triumph was short-lived, listing slightly to one side as an automated fire suppression system trained a stream of water on flames still burning at the base of the rocket. The spacecraft blew itself to pieces about 8 minutes after touchdown. It was the third such landing attempt to end in a fireball after an otherwise successful test flight. Being developed by SpaceX to carry humans and 100 tons of cargo on future missions to the moon and Mars. And let's just see. Because I feel like one of my friends used to live out there. And I was like, where is this town? So I'm just going to look real quick. Boca Chica, down there on the water. Oh, okay. Boca Chica is down there right next to the border on the south side, down in the middle of nowhere. All right. Cool. That makes sense. All right. Anyway, sorry for the aside. Geography, not my strong suit. Oh, golly. We've only got like a minute and a half to go. I'm sorry I talk so slow. The only Republican to vote in favor of a George Floyd bill said it was an accident. Lance Gooden said he pushed the wrong voting button on the police bill. And so they've now amended the official record to show his true intentions, but it did kind of freak people out for a minute. You can read the whole story at The Guardian. NASDAQ headed for worst week in a year as tech stocks drop. So U.S. stocks slumped in volatile trading on Friday, with tech-heavy NASDAQ heading for its worst week since March 2020, as fears over rising borrowing costs offset optimism about the strong jobs report. And a Dallas police officer faces capital murder charges for 2017 killings. So only 4 years later, a Dallas police officer was arrested Thursday on two counts of capital murder, more than a year and a half after a man told investigators that he kidnapped and killed two people at the officer's instruction in 2017. So, that's scary. And, we're out of time, but
well,
you should read up about the capital suspect.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Thank you so much, everybody. I'll see you guys Monday. Bye-bye. Enjoy the Doobie's Gold.
7.